for us as well. And yeah. Our Father in heaven, again, we thank you and acknowledge you for your presence, for your wisdom, for your grace, and ask for your word to be deeply planted in our hearts, that it would impact and change how we think, how we view you, and how we make decisions throughout our day and weeks. And Lord God, we ask that you'd minister and bless your word in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brent. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Carrie Lynn, and all of you for being here today. You bless me by your presence. I trust you are blessed by seeing one another. And if it was early, I can still say this. I can say good morning. There's no such thing as just morning. Every day is a good morning. And I hope that your heart is smiling inside like I see the smiles on your faces. And if it isn't, by the time you leave here, it definitely will be. Last week, I understand Daniel packed a full house. I was a king of kings. And the reason I was a king of kings is Pastor Bob there, as they call him. He stepped down from pastoring the local church and at the prompt of the Holy Spirit and is now pastor of international ministries. King of Kings, a good number of years ago, they planted a church in India through a local individual that contacted him. And that church planted churches, which planted churches and planted churches. And there are hundreds and hundreds of churches in India and in other places, all out of the little work that started of King of Kings Lethbridge. And along the timeline, other organizations have come along to support these works. There's churches in the States, there is Bible schools, seminaries in the States who are supporting this work that is spreading all over the place. So Bob was weeks away from a doctorate and will be focusing his time there. So they wanted to honor him, and they wanted the local voice, I guess, to come and speak there. And so I had the privilege of bringing greetings there from Free Guys Fellowship and was there. And as you know, Daniel Sepula was here. He had come back the night before from West Africa, and I heard he brought a good word. So you were blessed. And it's a blessing to be here this morning. A few weeks ago, over the summer, if you're new here this morning, welcome, by the way. And if you're online, welcome online. Through the summer, we did a series on spiritual gifts. And as you know, there was a few more to go. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. I'm not hesitant to go there, but I had this prompt that I was not to go there yet, or I was not to go there this Sunday morning. And so this morning, we're not there, not simply because of developments this past week, but it kind of goes hand in hand. And so my message this morning flows out of James chapter 1. You can turn your Bibles there. We'll read verses 1 through 8. And my title is, Be Joyful in All Circumstances. James is one of those practical books in our Bible that is a good place to start if you're a new believer, actually at any time. But it gives you some basics that you can never outlive, you can never fully say, you know, I got these conquered. It's just a wholesome, practical book. So James 1, verses 1 through 8. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So I will get to the passage a little bit further on, but really the emphasis is that first part of verse 3. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's where we will park for a while and unpack it and see how God speaks to you. So my presupposition, for those of you who know me, I can say things very direct, and if I do it with a smile on my face, I may get away with it. So my presupposition this morning is a strong one. It's strong language. And that is this. Okay, my presupposition for where I'm going this morning is this, and I understand not everyone may agree with me. And we allow difference of opinion, but this is why we as a local church are meeting this morning the way we are. As one of the reasons is there are people in positions of power, influence, and authority who are being used by the enemy of God to destroy nations, permanently cripple its citizens, and downsize the world's population. I know most of you are with me. Some of you are like, what? Want me to say it again? You want the strong language again, directly. I'm reading it as I wrote it because I want to say it right. My presupposition, which means our foundation, okay, reason for the position we've taken, is there's people in positions of power, influence, and authority who are used by the enemy of God to destroy nations, permanently cripple its citizens, and lower the population of this world. I am not saying this person, that person, and that person is really, really evil, though there's evil people. They are used by the enemy of God to push the enemy's agenda that didn't just come on the horizon at COVID-19. Yes, I said COVID-19 here again, and we're not going to make this a focus. That it didn't start there. It started decades ago. And it got started by Satan himself, looking for adherents, looking for followers, looking for somebody to take the plans to destroy God's image bearers and to make the church weak. When we have every reason to believe Matthew 16:18, that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against the government of God on earth, which is the ecclesia. That I say it strong enough, that I say it direct enough, that I have a smile on my face. I missed that one. Now, when the church is not doing real well in the midst of it, included being very divided and unsure how to respond. We're not going to all the verses this morning, but it says, let him who is tossed to and fro like a wave be able to receive anything. He's not standing sure-footed. So again, I'm aware that all of you may not embrace the presupposition, but this belief is what influences our decision as elders. I would quote Psalm 46, God is my refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Now, unless you've been kept from being informed about developments in our society lately, you have likely experienced various emotions in recent days. Let me name a bunch. You know, men, you know how many emotions there are? Hundreds. Okay? Ladies are probably more in tune or identifying, but let me name a few. Some of you have been annoyed. There's some inconveniences that come along with that. You've had the emotion of resistance, being resistant. And then you got to check your heart. Is it spirit? Is it flesh? You've been edgy. I was edgy. On the 16th or the 15th, whenever it was. I remember my oldest son in the house, he was rummaging around at 9:45, and I was trying to get him to, you know, I was edgy. Didn't like it. How about empty? Empty. Here we go again. Here we go again. Sad. How about anger? Call it anything you want. Ticked, frustrated, anger. About the level of force being exercised to get you or others to comply to their requirements. Trapped. Nowhere to turn. Mountains on this side, the Egyptians behind you, the Red Sea in front of you. Trapped. Tricked. You feel violated. Am I talking to anyone? Burdened. Unsettled. What about betrayed? You know, we can't trust man, but sometimes we trust them that what they say they're going to do. And then what they say they're going to do or say they're not going to do, when they change their mind, you feel betrayed. You wanted to believe certain government officials at the beginning of summer that things would be returning to more normal permanently. You felt attacked, beat up, bullied, robbed. Afraid. Some. Devastated. See, men, how many emotions there are? Overwhelmed. Stressed out. Like stretched to the limit. Ready to snap. Discouraged. Powerless. Maybe the sigh came up, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Hopeless. If I missed anyone, you know, some or all of these you experienced. I want to give you full permission to experience what you're going through. You're real, you're human. Emotions are real. We experience them. To deny them is denying something that it's not good. The way to apply this is when someone passes away, you're allowed to grieve. Yes, we can call it a celebration of life, but if you can't shed a tear, you're not being real. You're allowed to experience all of these emotions because God gave them for us to experience. We just can't stay there. You can't stay there. It's normal. But it can take some time to sort through this emotional roller coaster. Now, we have personality differences. I'm intrigued with people all the time. I get energized by people. This, you group energize me. If I spoke into a mic or a camera, I couldn't do it. So personality difference. Some of you want to fight back to stop the eroding of our freedoms we enjoyed. You want to take a stand no matter the cost. That's some of you. Some of you may not want to comply because to them, or you may want to comply actually, because to you it's the right thing to do. Now others would prefer to get away from it all and start over somewhere else. Let's just escape. Let's just go where the freedoms are not eroded to this level. Let's just, you know, that's what the pilgrims did to the United, settled in the U.S. They left England to start a new life for future generations. And there's still others of you who you're not going along with it, but resisting any longer could result in paying a high price. You can't buy or sell. You might lose your job. And this is real. September 2021 is hitting close to home for many. And so therefore, I believe it is right to address it this morning, and to otherwise we're ignoring the elephant in the room. But we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. And when you have God, you have everything. If I were to give you another presupposition, if I were to defend philosophy, for those of you who understand philosophy, presuppositional position is simply this: the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. Nobody can poke holes in that. So when you have Bible, you have God. When you have God, you have Bible. And so no matter what the Bible says, you have God. And what God says is in His Word, and His Word tells us who God is, because God is the Word of God. That's what we have. Therefore, we can say in Psalm 46, God is my refuge and my strength. So would God want His church to clearly stand out from those who are not His church? The obvious answer is yes. But do we? Do we? Does the world see the church as a refuge, as a place to go for answers? As you know, no matter what happens to these people, they still have joy. Not just joy on the outside, but as I hang with them, they got joy on the inside, apparently, because nothing gets them down very long. The church should stand out from the culture. Do we? Would the eternal God, who has all things in His hand, desire for His people to remain fearless, no matter what? And the obvious answer again is yes. What about experiencing calm, expressing appreciation, inspired, joyous, lighthearted, and peace? Brothers and sisters, all the other ones I shared before were not fruits of the Spirit, but these ones are. It says of Peter in Acts 12 that he was arrested because Herod saw that the Jews were delighted, apparently, when he killed James. And so wanted to give the Jews some more delight, he got hold of Peter, put him in prison. But because it was the feast of Pentecost, the feast unleavened bread. Passover, there we go. It was the Passover, days of Passover. He put him in prison, waiting for Passover to pass, and then he would take Peter's life as well. As we know, he was in the inner prison. He was there with 16 soldiers, four groups of four. And it does tell us in Acts 12 that the church was constantly praying. And by the way, when Peter got loose, they couldn't believe that God would answer their prayer. They're like, shocked. No, that can't be Peter. It must be his something else, his spirit. But it says that Peter knew he was facing death in just the days ahead. But that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. The next day was D-Day. The next day, he would be killed with the sword. But he was sleeping peacefully between soldiers chained. How is that possible? Fearless, calm, peaceful in the midst of such chaos. Now, sometime before, I don't know how long before, it was fear that caused him to deny Jesus. But that day, that night, he was fearless. Being fearless allowed him to sleep in a hostile environment. But when he denied Jesus, he allowed his emotions to rule. But when he was fearless between soldiers, his spirit was in charge. And in his spirit, there is fearlessness. In his spirit, there is peace. In his spirit, there is truth. In his spirit, there is calm. In his spirit, there is love. In his spirit, there is joy, because his spirit and the Holy Spirit were one. And the emotions were not ruling the day or the night, but the Spirit of God in him allowed him to stand out and to be fearless when death was imminent. Mario Morello recently told a room full of people, we're in a war, and our enemy is a spirit of fear. Now, we understand if the world is riddled in fear, we get it. And in a way, we can get it if the church is full of fear, but we don't get it if it stays there. Come on. And this is not to beat anybody up here. This is to say we need to have a different focus, a different understanding. We need to have a different outcome than to be filled with fear. as if we don't have God on our side, as if we don't have God within us, as if we don't have the Word of God to stand on, and as if we don't have a loving Father who says, why would I give you a scorpion when you ask for bread? If you, being evil, dads, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will He give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So up until recently, the cost to take a stand for your convictions hasn't cost you much. Oh, inconveniences, you know, some troubles, and unless you complied with it all. If you took a stand, but really, what the cost wasn't that high until now. Now you can lose your job. Some of you university students, you can lose your education. You can be prevented from going to keep going to university. This is real. I may be more blunt this morning. I'll just speak to what is. If you are threatened with being terminated without compensation, can I encourage you to not resign? Amen. Can I encourage you to not step down? Let them take the step, okay? I'm in fighting mode, okay, for this one? Okay? Let them take the step to let you go and possibly be on the hook legally instead of you lying down and say, I'll resign. There's no sin in that. There's no sin in that. As long as your heart is pure. Let them give you the hit instead of you laying down and resigning. James says this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. This is what he says. If you're going to get maximum benefit from current or future trials in your life, you have to get a little more lighthearted. If you are crying inside and fearful inside and troubled inside and anxious inside and angry inside and frustrated inside and whatever it is, you won't get the maximum benefit. Now, if you're there for a little while, okay, we get it. We're human. We go there. But if you stay there and you want the maximum benefit, because as he says in the rest of verse 3 and 4, this is the outcome. But we could camp on the first part of that verse. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, you have to choose to be joyful in the situation you're currently in. I know, it's joyful to be on the front end when you didn't know it was coming, and it's joyful on the other side to know, God, wow, God brought me through again. But in the trial, you have to choose to be joyful in situations where joy would naturally be our last response. Naturally, you don't have it. But you're not natural. The supernatural indwells you. The supernatural is available to you. The supernatural is commanded to us for us to tap into. Now, it says when you fall into various trials, you didn't choose them. Okay? We didn't go after the authorities and heckle them. They came after us. And not just the church. In fairness, not just the church. The whole culture. But remember, there's a demonic enemy behind it, who is not a respecter of persons, like our God is. You didn't cause them, you fell into them. Unexpected visitors. If you like your home prim and proper, no chaos, and you get these unexpected visitors. Well, I got to tell you this one. I had an aunt who had a good sense of humor. And there was one of her sisters who had unruly kids. Four of them. And they would drop in unexpected. And her house went from this to tumble upside down chaos. And she called them the Philistines. And he says, the Philistines came over again. You know, these are the kind of visitors. They're unexpected visitors. Now, James says, embrace them as friends. That's the verse. Count it all joy when you're in the midst of when you fall into various trials. Never mind inconvenience, never mind interruptions, never mind what you'd planned, never mind what you were at the cusp of doing. Be joyful. You challenged? Is the word of God true? You know, it's not just James. I think he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Don't you think so? You think God was behind this? You think God agreed with what James wrote? You think that our forefathers were right in including James as part of the Bible? Thank you, yes. Therefore, what James says, God says. God said it, James wrote it. God's not worried. God's not unsettled. God's not fearful. Let me remind you, you're a new creation. The God who saved you indwells you. The God who saved you empowers you. The God who saved you says, I'm not asking you to do this alone. Why don't you just let me live through you? Because where I live, there's no fear. Where I live, I know how this is going to end. And for some reason, he doesn't show us the end from the beginning. I know one of the reasons. He doesn't want to. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to walk by faith consistently. And if you think you passed this faith test, the next one is just a little bit tougher. Because he's on a journey to make you more like his son, so that the Jesus in you comes out more and more. Not just James. He's not worried. God's not unsettled, nor is he fearful. Now, we might ask, God, why are you allowing the world to look like this in the 21st century? I believe that the darkness that is upon us spiritually will result in a revival, in a transformation on the other side. I don't know what it'll take. I don't know how long it will take. But that's the business. Okay, you know what God's business is? Redeeming people and conforming them to his likeness. So the kingdom on earth reflects heaven. So what I read in my Bible, and you want to check out, and you want to sign off, and you want to say, God, bypass me? Sorry, you don't get a pass today. He's encouraging you to place it under your feet instead of the other way around. Again, there is no condemnation in this room, okay? Romans 8:1 is in our Bibles too. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But then it does say those who walk according to the Spirit, not according to flesh. Because when you walk in the flesh, then some of you this morning might have come in with this thing hanging over your head. Okay? I get it. Sometimes I get stuff hanging over my head too. But you know where it belongs, right? Under your feet. Jesus says, I overcome everything, and the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death. And so, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Is it a fight? Oh, yes. Is it intense? Yes. Can it be a long one? Yes. Can you overcome? Yes. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. I am not giving you a pep talk this morning, okay? I'm not here to just make you feel good and the out there you go and crash. I'm seeking to be faithful to the Spirit of God, what he wants his church, what he wants the Free Grace Fellowship crowd on September the 19th to hear and to receive in the Spirit, to be empowered to walk in the Spirit. And not in the flesh, because that's how, the only way you're going to overcome. Because your emotions are going to take you here. More, right now, probably more here than up here. But the spirit man is above it. He's encouraging you to place it on your feet instead of the other way around. He's telling you that he's in charge and that the outcome is better than you can imagine. Now, what's your God's definition of better? Verse 3 goes on to say, knowing that the testing of your faith, trials are positive, a positive way to prove what we've learned. You hear what I said? I didn't say negative. They're a positive way. You think trials are negative at times. You think trials are like, ugh, heavy, hard, difficult, painful. Who wants them? But trials are a positive way. Did I say something wrong? Oh, little child. Mimic me? Me. Out of the mouth of babes. See, our tendency is to escape. We avoid trials at all costs. The path of least resistance. Or we look for a shortcut. Can I get into this? Well, I didn't ask for this much. Where's the escape hatch? It's quick, out as quick as possible. Or we ask the question, Lord, why? I don't understand. Why me? Why this long? Why? Why does the church have to go through this? I believe one of the reasons the church has to go through this is to refine us. And it will separate, by the way, it will separate the believers from the disciples. You can believe Jesus and be saved forever, but never be a disciple. But a disciple says what Jesus said to his Father, Father, not my way, not my will, but yours be done. And we may never have to go through what Jesus, we won't. We may never have the Garden of Gethsemane experience, but in your world, it's hard, it's painful, it's long, it's difficult, it's a trial. And God knows that. That's why it's in our Bibles, because we need these reminders, these encouragements. And the reason is you become stronger and purer through the testing, if you count it all joy. See, you can go through this trial and not grow up at all. Not one iota. You're in grade 6 and you can't make it to grade 7. You get no pass. It's possible. It's possible to go through this difficult season and not mature. But if you count it all joy, then the outcome is guaranteed. Without the test, you won't grow. This is basically what it says. So what you learn on Sunday morning, what you learn in adult Bible class, what you learn as you read your Bible, what you learn in your community group, what you learn wherever, God says, okay, test time. He is seeing if what you say you believe, you live out as you believe. So Carolyn, thank you. I didn't know what you were sharing on. Don't just be a hearer. Be a doer. That's another way to look at the passage. Count it all joy. Be the doer. When your faith is tested, it's like you're being transplanted from driving on a safe highway to a precarious, narrow, steep, and winding mountain road. And God is saying, I'm borrowing this from Mr. Brent Taylor. He was in my office. Hang on for the ride. I know, some of you don't like those rides. Fear sets in. There's the cliff. There's the little wiggly bridge. You know, this bridge is built in 1946. When was it tested last? Looked like there was a washout, some deep pits there. And then all of a sudden, thunderclouds come overhead, and you're in this pouring rain. And okay, there's a slide coming down the mountain. Hang on for the ride. And then God says, count it all joy. That's what he says. You see, your trials don't feel good, and you're not promised it'll be without pain. But you're promised to lack nothing. That's what it says. You'll lack nothing. It's in the text. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So what do you lack right now? I know you're still lacking some things. you're lacking some joy. You're lacking faith, some faith. You can grow in faith. Sometimes you lack peace. You lack patience. You lack any fruits of the Spirit at any given time. According to this, if I can apply it to this specific thing, what we're going through is so we come to no lack. There's no guarantee you won't lose your job. There's no guarantee that you'll be able to pursue your education. There's no guarantee you'll be able to buy and sell. We haven't come to that one yet. No guarantee. So you may lose all kinds of things, and yet it says you will lack nothing. And that's not a contradiction. You're promised to lack nothing and mature, or in other words, be more like Jesus. And when you're more and more like Jesus, how much do you think will man's plans cause you to fear? That's what it comes down to, right? We, as believers of Jesus Christ, have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of Jesus, and the more Jesus gets to... See, it's not the point, how much of Jesus do you have in you? The question is, how much of Jesus lives out of you? And when you get conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ more and more, the more of Jesus comes out of you, and the less do the externals matter. And I'm not wishing any of you to lose your job. I'm not wishing any of you to be robbed of your education or your dreams. I'm not wishing any of you to have hardships. I have no prophetic word. I have no insight. I have no word of knowledge. But what I do believe is when we count it all joy, we will come through this a whole lot better, despite anything we may have to give up. But I can just make this application. Okay, so summary, I wanted to insert this. Let me insert it here now. Before this came down this week, we as elders talked about an opportunity next week, Sunday night, 7 o'clock in this building, to discuss this very thing. Now, it was, you know, with the developments this past week, there's more need for it because what could or would it look like? How do we plan for that? What can we tell someone who tried a medical, you know, reason and they got denied? What can we tell someone? You know, just hang tough, do it anyway. What if they get laid off? What can we as a church, what is our mandate as a church? How do we look after one another? So we want to discuss some of those things. We want to hear back from you. And I don't want to do it on a Sunday morning because something, you know, I know you weren't forced to come here. But then you'd be forced into that conversation. We don't want to do that. But next week, Sunday night, 7 o'clock, we do want to provide the opportunity and have this fellowship discussion conversation because this is real. This is real. And again, our Bibles tell us we are to look after the family of God first. But will you get to the point... Now, when you're more and more like Jesus, how much do you think will man's plans cause you to fear? But will you get to that point unless you consider it a great joy when you experience trials? The answer is no. But then here's the $69,000 question. But how? I read it. I get it. I understand it. I'm following. I'm tracking with you this morning. But how? Well, a number of things here. And it may not answer all your questions, but the Bible's not that difficult. When you count it all joy, that joy is a joy that no circumstances can take away. It's a Holy Spirit joy, and it's a permanent joy. It's not even a joy you still got to get. It just needs to be awakened in you. You have the Spirit of God, and therefore one of the fruits of the Spirit is the joy of the Lord. So it's a joy the Spirit gives and can't be taken away. Jesus says this in John 15:11, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." So the heart of God is for us to be joyful, for it to be full, and never to be taken away. Secondly, we stop focusing on whatever it is that's robbing you of your joy. Now, that's the big one. That is the big one. I am not encouraging you to keep getting filled and filled and filled with all the garbage that's out there in the media and whatever else. It's becoming more and more difficult to filter through what is truth, what is not truth. And no, I'm not going there because I have strong opinions on it. I would like to believe I am fairly well informed. Well, I will say this. I don't believe 90% of what's out there. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not live the lie. And I cannot, as your pastor, bow my knee to a satanic agenda. I said it out loud. I can't. Stop focusing on whatever it is that's robbing you of your joy, because joy is not based on circumstances. Never has been, never will be. It's not based on that. It may not even prevent you from experiencing negative emotions. God permits them, He gave them to you. And what you're experiencing is real. But the emotion is coming out of the soul realm. And the joy of the Lord comes out of the spirit realm. And so perhaps one of the key things for the Church of Jesus Christ in the 21st century is for us to live less in the soul realm and to focus to live out of the spirit realm. Can I say this week? Can I get a witness to that? Did you understand? Do you hear what I'm saying? So much of the Christian church is soulish. We've never been commanded to be soulish Christians. We've been commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Where there is joy, peace, long-suffering, selflessness, kindness, patience, love. And when we do, no circumstances can rob us of our joy. It's a deep-seated happiness of what God has done and what He's doing. So we got to stop. May seem harsh. We got to stop any wallowing, whining, and complaining. And grab God's joy. So we got to focus on God. I got just a couple minutes, but maybe there's a response afterwards. And this is one of my, we need to focus on God. But what is God to you? That may be another common denominator to drill down. What is God to you? Because what God is to you will directly impact how you go through this. If you raise a Catholic, then there's a whole list of things you need to do that go along with your salvation. If you raise a Muslim, there's a whole lot of things you got to do to appease an angry Allah, and somehow you never get there. If you're a Hindu, you got these thousands and millions of gods you got to appease. And you'll never know if you appease Him, but don't count on it. But when you understand the Father's heart, God is love. God is love. And He never moves away from that, because when you have love, you have God. When you have God, you have love. And when you mess up, you have His love. He doesn't love you any less. And when you're struggling, he's still a loving Father. And I don't have an answer to this, but I've wondered, okay, heaven is perfect and it's beautiful and it's amazing, but I wonder if in that perfect place, my Father in heaven at times sheds tears when His children cry. When they're filled with fear and troubled and agonizing, does His heart not cry with you in this perfect state? I don't know, but I do know He's right there with you. But He says, child, come on. Would I ever, ever not want to do this to you in your most difficult circumstance? Would I ever let you go when you think you're at the end of the gangplank and someone's going to push you off? Will I not be there for you? What is God to you? Simple question. And what he is to you in the moment is how you're going to fare when your world around you is crashing, there's unknowns, and you don't know what the future holds. But he holds the future. He holds the world in his hands. And yes, some of his people have gone to the stake, and some of them have lost their spouse long before it was the right time. And some of them have children stillborn, all of that. But it doesn't change the loving Father who has all things in his hand. And he says, child, trust me. I've got this one too. But he loves you too much to not allow you to go through the trials. He loves you too much to at times spare you the pain. Parents, you know this one. You like to put a safety net under your kids all the time, but you know it's not good for them. There comes a time when their butt has to hit the ground, and it hurt. Out of love. I do not believe God is angry with the world. He's in the process of redeeming it. And we don't understand his ways. His ways are higher than our ways. But he knows what he's doing. He's not fretting. He's not troubled. He's not fearful. But to the extent that we as a church of Jesus Christ come into the yoke with him, the harness with him, and understand him and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. God has limited himself to work through his church. And when the church doesn't get it, the world goes down. And every family or every individual has to process how they're going to respond. And what may work for you may not work for me and the other way around. But one thing I do know, my Bible does not allow me to bind anyone's conscience. And right now in our culture, the government is binding your conscience. How do we respond to that? We have an election tomorrow. I hope you go and vote, if you haven't yet. But don't hope in a new government. Our hope's in God. Pray. Love those songs. We fight on our knees. And we expect victory. And then we can count it all joy when we fall into various trials. Amen. Brent, where are you? Come on up.
Yeah, that's very good. I was thinking throughout the whole message, there's no story written, no movie scripted, no hero of the faith without someone having gone through trials and struggle, right? There's no books written from someone that had an easy life. Inspirational, anyways.